reason Jesus came to earth to save the lost, the rejected, the spiritually poor, the down and out. Sometimes we actually forget, I think, that that's who we are outside of Christ. Though we might be rich materially or relationally, outside of Christ, we are spiritually bankrupt. Without Him, we are helpless. Without Him, we are hopeless. Without Him, well, we deserve to be rejected and abandoned by God in much the same way that the tax collectors were rejected and abandoned by their society. But God doesn't just do this. He doesn't do this. Instead, He welcomes us. He welcomes us not only into His house, but into His family. When we go to Him for help, wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we've done, if we then are to welcome like Christ has welcomed us, that means being prepared to do so, although we might not have anything in common with that person, to do so even though we find them difficult to talk to do so despite how they are viewed by other people. So how do we do that in church? Well, who are those people on the sidelines? Who are those people who don't seem to maybe get involved or seem to be part of a friendship group? Who are those people who are, as Brian Maiden said when he did this, the discipline of fellowship, who are those people who are studying the notice boards, standing alone? Yes, absolutely. We might have a million and one things to do on a Sunday morning. It sometimes feels like that, doesn't it? But the call to welcome like Christ is one that's prepared to sacrifice, to welcome. So welcome the difficult. Secondly, notice how Jesus welcomes Zacchaeus in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." We know the story of Zacchaeus well, don't we? He climbs up this sycamore tree so that he can just get a glimpse of Jesus. He's actually quite passive. He's not intending to have a conversation with Jesus. He just wants to see him. Perhaps he's too scared to go to Jesus. Too scared of what people might do to him or say to him if he does it publicly. But Jesus comes to Zacchaeus. Jesus takes the initiative. He goes to Zacchaeus and greets him. And actually, this is exactly how Jesus welcomes every one of us into God's family. Romans 5, verse 8, famous verse. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Jesus, He came to this earth despite our rejecting of Him. He died on a cross despite us rejecting Him, despite us humans being those who nailed Him to the cross. Hasn't Jesus taken the initiative in the most amazing way in order to welcome us into His family? Now, some of us are introverted. In fact, I heard some statistics that were crazy, that over half the church is introverted. And for those of us who are particularly introverted, the idea of going to someone we don't know, well, that puts us firmly out of our comfort zone. It makes us feel so awkward that we wish that the ground would open up before us and we could just dive in. And it's okay to be introverted. Taking the initiative, speaking to people, doesn't have to be natural. But Paul's exhortation to the Romans is not just to the extroverted Romans, it's to all of those who are in Rome. And I think that challenge comes to all of us this morning, whether we are comfortable with it or not, to take the initiative. Then thirdly, what is the motivation for welcoming? Why does Jesus welcome the difficult? Why does Jesus take the initiative to welcome? Well, that verse again, Romans 5 verse 8, tells us God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's love that motivates. God so loves that he gives. God so loves that he welcomes us into his family. Only love could welcome people like Zacchaeus, people like you and people like me, into the family of God. It's love, then, that must be our motivation if we are to welcome the way Jesus welcomes us. It's only as we grasp his love for us that we love him. We love because he first loved. And it's only as this is increased that we allow ourselves, put ourselves in a position where we will be transformed into the likeness of Christ by the Spirit. And it's as this transformation takes place that the love that we have for each other and indeed our world increases. Only as we become like Jesus can we love like Jesus. It's only as we become like Jesus that we can welcome like Jesus. And this happens as the Spirit transforms us. But remember that series again on the disciplines. What we said about them, the disciplines are those things which place us in a position where this will happen, where we will be transformed. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we pray. That's why we fast and do all of those other disciplines that we looked at. I remember a story about Becky Manley Pippert. You know Becky Manley Pippert. She wrote out of The Salt Shaker, which you might have read. Now, she tells the story of a slightly crazy neighbor of hers. Now, if you've seen Becky Manley Pippert, she looks, I don't know if, maybe I'm kind of, no, most of you will know it. You know the TV series, the American TV series Dallas, where they had, you know, the massive hair and all that. Well, Becky Manley Pippert looks like she could be an extra on that show. She's got perfect hair and makeup and everything. And she lived in that sort of place where they had like parties all the time and all that sort of stuff. And anyway, this slightly crazy neighbor, well, everyone found her very difficult to get on with. The rest of her neighborhood, well, they pretty much shunned her. And actually, Becky found her just as difficult to deal with as the rest of the community. But she prayed a simple prayer one day. She just said, "Lord, help me love her." And you know what? God did help her love her. She began meeting with her regularly and struck up a close friendship until she moved away a few years later. The point, though, of this story is to say that if we are going to welcome one another, never mind those who don't know Jesus, well, we need love. And to love, we need Jesus. We need his help. We need to pray and ask for it. So we've dealt with how Jesus has welcomed us and why, but what does the outworking of this look like? What does it look like to welcome like Jesus has welcomed us? Well, let's have a look at the way in which Paul welcomes, or rather how he greets other Christians. And at the end of Romans, there's this absolutely fascinating chapter, chapter 16, and in it, Paul greets loads of different Christians who are in Rome from different backgrounds, different contexts. And in that chapter, we see that his motivation is correct. The word beloved is mentioned several times with reference to the people that he is welcoming. But another thing that Paul does is he celebrates the existence of these Christians. Look at verse 3, Romans 16, verse 3. It's on the screen. It says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." He's so thankful for him, or for them. And we might say, well, with due cause, he's thankful because they've risked their lives for Paul. But it's not just the fact that they've risked their lives for Paul that makes him thankful. It's because they labor alongside him for the sake of the gospel. And actually, that's the main source of his joy throughout the chapter. The point's this, that when he greets people, he does not concentrate on their weaknesses. Now, I'm sure that Prisca and Aquila had weaknesses. I'm sure that they weren't perfect. But what he does is he celebrates what he has heard and what he knows that they are doing for Jesus. Now, if we want to welcome, if we want to greet like Jesus has motivated Paul to here, it means genuinely finding joy in what each other is doing for Jesus and actually telling them that we are so thrilled at what they do for him. Then what else? We'll look at the very first verse of the chapter. Here we have Paul making an appeal for Phoebe, who he's presumably sent with the letter, and that's why he's asking what he asks. He says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Century, that you may welcome her in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well." Paul's request gives us insight into how he expects their welcome to work. It's not just a quick handshake and a hello, thanks for this, and please do send our regards to Paul. The welcome is much more than that. It's fantastic to have you with us. We've heard lots about what you're doing for Jesus. Now, how can we help you? The welcome is accompanied by help. This, of course, is exactly what Jesus has done for us in his welcome to us. He welcomes us into his family, but he doesn't just leave us like that. He gives us his Spirit, the Helper. He is transforming us. He is making us better. He is making us more like him. Now, helping in this way can be really very simple. Now, when I first arrived in Carlisle, which is actually about 19 months ago, I think, it was about a month before I started working here. And so I thought I'd take the opportunity to kind of visit some of the other churches, kind of get a feel for what... Just what was going on in the city, what the other churches were doing. Now, I'm glad to say I felt very welcome in all of the churches, but one of the churches sticks in my mind particularly. They were absolutely brilliant at welcoming. I was immediately introduced to people who had the same age as me, who had the same interests as me. I was invited out for lunch several times by several different people. They helped me, though, in their welcome by just introducing me to people. They found out that I was new, so they thought, well, he doesn't know anyone. Let's help him by by letting him meet other people. And I actually stayed behind for ages here. I couldn't get out of the church because I kept being introduced to someone else. But it did feel like they were genuinely glad that I was there. And finally, towards the end of our chapter, Paul writes this, verse 16. He says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Now, the holy kiss was practiced widely in the apostolic church, and it actually became part of the early church's liturgy by the end of the second century. But in our modern culture, which has been hyper-sexualized to such a degree that we no longer know how to share brotherly love physically, a holy kiss is something which doesn't translate into our context. The point of the holy kiss is to convey affection in their welcome in a way which shows love and not lust. Some of you will know that I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and I'm not sure that there is a more Presbyterian action than the right hand of fellowship. Now, this may not seem like an affectionate action, but in truth, some of the handshakes that I have had in Presbyterian church, in a Presbyterian church, have been full of warmth, full of kindness and grace. And of course, others have been cold, lifeless, and limp. But it's not the action that's important, is it? It's the sentiment behind it. Whatever your particular preference, whether you're a hugger or you like handshakes, Paul is imploring these Christians to be affectionate, showing love and not lust to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, to sum up, welcoming one another must not be motivated by race or economic status or personality. We must welcome those who are the same as us, but we must welcome those who are different from us as well. And even those that we find difficult to deal with, we're to take the initiative in welcoming, not expecting someone else to come to you. We're to celebrate each other, looking to help each other where we can. In many ways, it's easy to do these things, isn't it, for the people that we find easy to love. But if we are to welcome like Jesus, that means loving the unlovable. And that's certainly not something that we can do purely relying on our own ability. It's motivated and it's dependent upon that which unites us to one another, the love of Jesus. It's as the Spirit reveals the wonder of this to us that our hearts are softened. And we submit to the Spirit and are transformed to love. So the big challenge this morning really is, where do we stand as a church? How good are we at welcoming each other? Or maybe we should ask a slightly different question. If you brought a friend of yours to this church, how confident are you that they would feel welcome here? Now, my feel this morning, and yours could be different, but this is my feel, that we are okay. We're okay to a certain level. We'll say hello to each other, but actually taking it beyond that is sometimes quite difficult. Now, don't get me wrong, there are people amongst us who are incredibly gifted at welcoming. But as I said earlier, this encouragement to welcome like Christ has welcomed us is not just to those who are naturally welcoming. It's to every single one of us. And we all need help, I think, to welcome like this. So we join with me as we pray. for help. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we worship you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the incredible love that you have shown for us, shown to us in Jesus, that you sent him here whilst we were still sinners, whilst we had still rejected you. And you, like the Father and the Son of the prodigal son, you've opened your arms to us, and you've run to us. You've taken the initiative in Jesus. And through him we have life, and life in all its fullness. We thank you for this love, Father. We pray that you would stir up in us even greater love for you. Just make it even more clear to us how incredible this love is for us. Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to put ourselves in a place where we will be transformed to love increasingly more. Help us to love, Lord, those who we find difficult. Help us to love those that we find annoying, who we find it difficult to talk to because we don't have that much in common with. Help us to be vigilant, Lord. Help us to see those people who are teetering around the edges, who are studying the notice boards, who are on their own. Help us to take the initiative. Help us to welcome like you have welcomed us. And we pray this, Father, that we might be a church that glorifies you more, a church that speaks more of what Jesus does to your community, how he transforms it, a church that is more welcoming, that will see and be a place that people feel comfortable to come to and be welcomed. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to move into our time of open worship. And I encourage you to think about some of those things that Sam was saying this morning about what communion is about it looking back, about it looking around, about it looking forward, and to think about some of the things that we've just been speaking about welcoming one another. So our time is now open.